NPR's Eric Weiner is along the Pakistan-Afghanistan border, a town called Porkam. Eric, you've just come from Jalalabad. Tell us what the situation is there, please.
Well, Scott, it's mostly peaceful in Jalalabad. The shops are open. People are out going about their business. But there's a big question mark hanging over the town, and that is just who is in charge. You see a lot of men with guns around town. It seems like almost everybody has a gun. And these men owe their allegiance to various Mujahideen factions. These are the fighters who fought against the Soviets in the 1980s. Mm-hmm. Well, they're back here in eastern Afghanistan, and they're all vying for power. In fact, today they held a news conference where they announced the new governor of this province surrounding Jalalabad, and they promised that they're going to enter a new stage of cooperation, which they have not done in the past. But not a very good sign is that during the news conference they were squabbling amongst each other about different government positions. The fear here is that there could be a return to the 1990s when these Mujahideen factions turned their guns on one another and almost destroyed this country. It was an awful time for Afghanistan, and I talked to a number of people in Jalalabad who are afraid, now that the Taliban are gone, that this part of Afghanistan, at least, is slipping back into the dark days of the past.
You've just been at an Al-Qaeda training facility that was bombed by U.S. and British planes. What can you tell us about what you saw?
I visited this camp a few miles outside of town. People there told me it had been bombed twice by the U.S. I saw plenty of evidence of that. Mm-hmm. I saw two giant craters. They must have been 20 or 30 feet deep and at least as wide. I saw some artillery which had been destroyed. I saw a few simple buildings which had also been destroyed. And I'm told, although I didn't see this myself, that the first people to arrive at this camp found a jihad training manual and a directory of phone numbers used by bin Laden and his men.
Mm-hmm. Were you able to get into the guts of the camp? We've been reading reports in this country about the training manuals you describe, literature for various flight schools in the United States. Even, as you know, in some training camps, some evidence of experiments or even preparation of chemical weapons.
Well, Scott, I didn't see any physical evidence of that, but I did talk to a lot of local people, people who live right around this camp or what's left of this camp. And they said, first of all, they did not have very good relations with these Arab men. They kept to themselves. When they did come to town, they acted arrogantly. They wore dark sunglasses, carried guns, and sort of swaggered around town like as if they owned it. They also said that they heard construction sounds often coming from the camp. We don't know what that might be. Also, gunshots were heard, apparently some sort of training going on. And the most ominous thing I heard this from a few people in this town right next to the training camp, is that the local dogs disappeared and would later turn up dead. And they suspected that what was going on in the camps is that they were using the dogs to test chemical weapons. Now, there's no way of proving that, but I did hear it from several people living near this camp.
Eric, thanks very much.
Thank you, Scott.
NPR's Eric Weiner speaking from along the Afghan-Pakistani border.